I'm reading from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
On this past Wednesday, we began our Lenten journey. And Lent is a season which traditionally within the church has been used as a time of reflection and repentance and a preparation to accompany Jesus in his last days on earth, as he walks to the cross and then is raised in the tomb. We journey with him. And it's important for us to enter into this time together in the right mindset and the right heart set as well. We are together as a church, journeying through Adam Hamilton's The Walk. And over these five Sundays that are coming up in the season of Lent, I will be approaching each of the five topics in Adam's book and treating them in the sermon as you read about them in the book The Walk, and then in small groups come together to discuss it. I'm going to assume the best of us, church, that we are all participating in this, that this is an important part of your spiritual preparation for the season of Easter. This study, this journey that we are all participating in, it focuses on how we close the gap between the Christians that we are and the Christians that God wants us to be. We do this by studying and discussing worship, spiritual growth, serving, giving, and sharing. This is our method, which underpins methodism. These shouldn't come as new topics to you, because at baptisms and at your own profession of faith, you have taken these vows already. At your baptism, others may have taken the vows as your guardians or spiritual guides to hold true to those vows as they brought you up in the faith. Each week, we'll be focusing on one of these points of our method. And today, we begin by focusing on worship. When I was in seminary, I learned that worship is how we respond to the Creator as the creatures, as those who have been created. It is about how we worship the God who is uniquely worthy of our admiration, our reverence, our awe, our thanksgiving, and our praise. Humanity is created to worship. Now, you may think, what? I'm going to make a statement. We all worship something. Think about that. Each one of us worships something. It may be money, it may be power, it may be position, it may be another person, it may be an ideal. We all worship something. The purpose of being a Christian is to worship God through Jesus Christ. And that is what we focus on in the coming weeks. God created the world out of love. And our response is to give thanks to God. Truly give thanks with everything we have to this God who has made the world and us in it. And if you think about it, there are those who see God in rainbows or sunsets or sunrises or in the way animals are. Natural theology. You realize that every time a bird sings, that bird is praising the God who made it. Every time a raindrop falls and nourishes the earth so that green may grow, it is praising the God who makes that possible. You do understand that humans are the only part of creation that have a choice whether or not to worship God. Every other part of creation does it as part of what and who they are. Adam Hamilton in The Walk uses three Greek words that define worship in the New Testament. The first is procunio, which means to bow down or to prostrate oneself. These words are used throughout the New Testament in the Greek. The second is sibumai, which means approaching something or someone with deep reverence and awe. And the third is latreo, serving one who is greater. And so that you know, latreo is the root word for liturgy, which is what we do as we come together in worship. These three words, proskuneo, sibumai, and latreo, help us to understand that as we present ourselves to worship, we are to bow down or lower ourselves before God. We're to approach God with deep reverence and awe, and we are always through worship serving one who is greater than ourselves. Revelation 4, verse 11 says it this way: every time the animals gave glory and honor and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the age after age living one, the 24 elders would fall prostrate. And the 24 elders is an aside, the 12 leaders of the tribes of Israel and the 12 major prophets. The 24 elders would fall prostrate before the one seated on that throne. They worshiped the age after age living one. They threw their crowns at the foot of the throne, chanting, "Worthy is the Master. Yes, our God, our God. Take this glory, God. Take the honor. Take the power. You created it all. It was created because you wanted it so." Think about that. The most powerful, the most blessed by God, the leaders throwing their crowns before God. As we go through these 5 weeks, brothers and sisters, I am going to be very open with you. We are going to address these 5 disciplines of Christian faith openly. And we're going to look at ourselves, one another, in new ways. You know, you may be a big deal in your life, but when you come in here into the very presence of God, you're a little deal. Because God is the big deal that we cast our crowns before. Worship
is to be a time of joy, where we sing songs with gladness in our hearts. We can feel the joy in the midst of the pain of life because God is God and we are not. We can worship anywhere, in any place, in any space, because the world is God's pasture, and as we heard, we are God's sheep. And just if you look back upon the history of God's people as given to us in Holy Scripture, every time God's people started getting comfortable or accustomed or in the place, and it became about the place, God moved them. Think about it. It became about God again for them, not about them and where they were and their comfort. Think about the Exodus. The people were freed from slavery. They were led into the wilderness in freedom by Moses, and they said, we want to go back to Egypt because we don't like this manna stuff. We want our flesh pots.
They had forgotten who God was and who they were as God's creatures. You know, confusion ensues when we think that we're the shepherds who get to choose the pastures, and God is our sheep that we herd into those places or spaces that we choose. We get it wrong. But worship is so much more than that. On the Lord's table, you'll see two posters that Kathy has put up for us to remind us of two things. Thank you are two of the most important words you will ever say in your life. Thank you are two of the most important words you will ever say in your life. When we enter worship, we enter into God's court with thanksgiving. Our worship is to say thank you to God. Our hearts should be inclined always toward gratitude, thanksgiving. And you'll also see three of the other words that are the most important words you will ever say in your life. I love you. If it's important for you to express those words to those that mean something around you in your life, who you are in relationship with, how much more is it appropriate for you to say thank you to the God who has made you and saved you and continues to abide with you forever? The God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all present. And brothers and sisters, when you gather for worship, you are not the audience. Please understand that. For early Christians, worship was not something that they attended. It was not something that they watched. It was something that they did. You know, the people that are in front of you, they're not entertainers for you to evaluate. The pastors, the musicians, the liturgists, we're not on a stage hoping to entertain you. We are offering ourselves to God, first and foremost, to lead you in authentic and heartfelt worship. We are seeking to bless God and to be used by God to draw other worshipers to God. You know, when we began our Christian journey, we may wonder as we enter worship, you know, just what am I going to get out of this today? And that's okay.
It's an okay place to start. But we must move on in Christian maturity from there. As we mature in the Christian faith, our attitude changes from, what am I going to get out of this? To what am I going to give to God through my worship today? You're not the audience here. God is. To everything, not only that we say or sing or do, but to the very worship that you give from where you are as well. It is God that we are glorifying, not ourselves. You've come. One of the things is, it's very clear to me why I came here today. And I didn't come here because I like to wear a white robe and a stole. Because I really don't. I came here today to bless God. And if it pleases God that I wear this, then I want to wear it. Why did you come here today? Think about it a minute. Why did you come here today? I think I have an idea. If you come here with a humble and contrite and truthful heart, you came here today to sing to God, to pray to God, to bow down before God, to God's honor, to God's glory, for God's pleasure, not for your own. When we worship in humility and truth, we do get something back out of it, but it's something that we didn't expect. Our hearts are warmed, and they're changed. And our perspectives and our priorities begin not to be our own, but to align with Jesus. That's what we get out of worship. So the real question should be, how am I changed from this worship experience by God, by worshiping God? It's not about what do I like and what I don't like. It's about, is the worship I am offering pleasing to the God who made me and saved me? When we worship together, we lay our burdens before God. We bear them no more, trusting that God has the strength to bear them for us. We ask for and we receive God's mercy as we acknowledge how we have distanced ourselves from God and from each other. We are filled anew with God's Spirit. We have to empty ourselves of ourselves before we can breathe in the blessing of the Spirit. We hear God's story and learn how Jesus lived and what he taught, which are our instructions for life. And we feast at the Lord's table. And when we've done all this, we leave renewed, inspired, and ready to serve God and serve others in the coming week. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 says it this way, and I love the way that Paul has put this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for God. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention upon God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to that. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings out the best in you,
develops well-formed maturity in you.
Brothers and sisters, simply put, we are to be a living alleluia. Now, alleluia is a word that those that have been around the church for a while have probably used. You do know, I hope, that it comes from two Hebrew words. Hallelu, which means the command form of praise. And Yahweh, which is God. Hallelu, Yahweh. Praise God, the command form.
Adam Hamilton writes in The Walk, and this is great, in seeking to give thanks, to praise God, not only with our words, but also with our lives, rendering our worship to God, we find communion with God. And the grace, strength, and love to live as God's people.
We are not the shepherds.
We are the flock.
So, how do we worship God when we're not together on Sunday morning? Well, we've already touched on that. Thank you. Gratitude is powerful. Gratitude can change you. Gratitude, believe it or not, can heal you. It can. It's been proven in medical studies.
And when you do not think and practice gratitude,
it will have the opposite effect on you.
Our basic attitude must be one of gratitude. Our hearts and lives defined by thanksgiving.
The study that we're working through says 41% of men and 59% of women in America report praying at least once a day. That's dismal. Think about it. 41% of men, 59% of women in America report praying at least once a day.
So as part of this spiritual discipline in Lent, Adam and I invite us to develop a habit of praying at least 5 times a day.
5 times a day. Now, I'm very glad I did not hear a collective from you. Although maybe you did it under your breath. I want to break it down and help. Because this isn't hard. How many of us eat 3 or more times a day? Most of us? Okay.
Take a moment before you eat and just give thanks to the God that makes it possible for you to be nourished. Maybe if you're in a restaurant, just thank God for the people who are cooking and serving you food. And you may say it aloud
or at least take a moment
to reflect and pray quietly. That's 3.
You're over the hump. Now, how many of us get up in the morning? Good, I'm very grateful. And I would invite us, as we awaken in the morning, to thank God. To thank God for the blessing of another day. To be able just to take a moment as we begin to orient ourselves and maybe see the first rays of sunlight. And to give thanks to God for the ability to serve as Christ's hands and feet again that day. And then maybe take a moment and say, and God, I would ask you to order my steps this day. I would ask you, as there are opportunities that you would place before me, to let me see them and give me the courage to move in that way. That's 4. How many of us get tired and go to bed at night? Yeah, I think pretty much everybody.
And when you get ready to retire for the night, thank God for the blessings of the day. Even if it's been a crummy day, thank God for the opportunity for rest. If you're like me, switch off your brain. It's hard sometimes. And then ask God to watch over you as you rest and renew, so that you'll be able to serve faithfully again tomorrow. Five little prayers. And you're not going to have to change that much to do it. But some of you might say to me, Bill, I'm really not sure how to pray. I'm really not sure how to pray to God. I feel very uncomfortable. Every time I try to pray to God, all I hear is this buzzing in my ears. I want to help you. I want to help you.
I want to help you. This is a great tool. And I think most of us have at least one of these.
The first is, use prayer as an act. A, adoration. Adoration to God, praise to God, praise Yahweh. And just give God the glory. Then,
confess, be contrite in your heart. Get right with God
by realigning yourself with God. And that doesn't mean bringing God to your way of thinking. It means being able to admit that you have strayed away from God's thinking, God's ways. And then, thanksgiving.
Giving thanks to God.
Expressing heartfelt gratitude, thank yous to God.
And if you have difficulty thinking of something to thank God for, realize you're breathing.
Start there.
That's something to be thankful for.
Then supplication.
Asking for God's blessing and presence in our lives and within the lives of others. Asking for God to be with us. Always using that acknowledgement. If it be your will. And that leads us to the fifth point. Yielding. Asking God to mold and use us as God wills. As Jesus works in us and through us. Yielding ourselves, our stiff-necked will, to God's. A, adoration. C, contrition. Confession. T, thanksgiving.
S, supplications before God. And yielding. Yielding before God's will.
Oh, and one more thing.
Worship each week. And now I know I've heard
discussions, even today.
There's so many things. There's so many sports. There's so many activities. You know, I've only got 24 hours in the day. How am I going to fit this in? Worship each week. Why?
Because it isn't about you. It isn't about schedule. It isn't about your other priorities. It's about God.
And you need to make God a priority in your life. Are there days where you cannot worship?
Absolutely. If you're sick, if you're out, if you're doing stuff.
But when you get back,
plug back in. You aren't here
for you.
You are here for God. And we are here together. When you are not here, we are diminished by that.
But when you are here, it's amazing how we can join together to worship Yahweh. And as you worship week by week, as you pray day by day, five times a day to start,
And then believe me, it'll turn into something where you'll become a living prayer, where you will breathe prayer. And when that happens, as you find yourself maturing in your Christian faith and these disciplines, you will realize that you are on the path to be closer with God. And you'll feel yourself transforming into a living hallelujah. Amen. Amen.